repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now, and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church. Mm-hmm. Second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I mean, I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in just a little bit is John Ramos. We want to get right to what's taking place in Israel. If you think about when strategy is being unfolded, good or bad, it takes a long time to be able to unfold that kind of strategy. Well, bad strategy has been unfolding for the last, almost 8 years now, at least seven, in regards to Israel. And when you think about what was just voted on, the Supreme Court just ruled against the Born in Jerusalem bill that said basically that you can be, if you're born as an American in Jerusalem, you're born in Israel. This is what this means. Matter of fact, let's take a look at this now. Take a look.
The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a law that would have allowed Americans born in Jerusalem to list Israel as their country of birth on their passports. In a 6-3 ruling Monday, the court said Congress overstepped its bounds when it approved the passport law back in 2002. The ruling ends a 12-year lawsuit by a Jerusalem-born American and his U.S. parents. Under the law, the State Department would have been forced to alter its longstanding policy of not listing Israel as the birthplace for Jerusalem-born Americans. U.S. policy says the city's status should be resolved between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
This is so important because it ties to what we talked about when the Democratic National Convention took place and they pulled Jerusalem out of the platform. And basically, this is our vision for where we're going as a party. This is where we're going to take the country. And one of the things that they wanted to take the country in was to remove Jerusalem as the acknowledged capital of Israel. And it looks like a Baptist or a pastor, a Methodist pastor, former governor of a particular state, that he realized that and he came back and he said, listen, I want to make a motion to be able to put that back in again, because we as a people in America, we support Israel. We believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which means when people are born there in Jerusalem, they're born in Israel. Well, take a look right here. This is the Democratic National Convention. This is them putting it back in the platform again. So remember, they took it out. They took Jerusalem out as a platform. And notice that they did it, the particular mayor from L.A., who was the chairman, he did it against the will of the people. The people were saying, no, we do not want it, boo. And they did not vote for it because you have a thing called Robert's Rules of Order. So they had to take a vote. And ever how it goes, this is supposed to be what they're doing. And a lady walks up and she says, listen, you're going to have to rule the meeting and give them what they want. As a matter of fact, take a look. This makes sense when you see this ruling from the Supreme Court.
The chair recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment to the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
You've got to rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do. Rule.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee. Now, everyone.
It's important as strategies unfold, when plans and fundamental transformations take place, it happens over a period of time. You know, no matter what, that because you've been given authority, because man's been given authority, you enemy has to get your buy-in. You have to go, hey, I'm going to vote myself out. I'm going to vote. And the vote was, no matter what the L.A. mayor pushed through, the vote was very specifically, we vote Israel, Jerusalem, not the capital of Israel. It was already removed out. Somebody came back and said, hey, we want to put it back in. As a matter of fact, I want you to see right here, this is the amendment. I want to read it to you because it was real quick when they showed it right there, if y'all can show that. But the amendment said, do you have it up right there? There we go. This is what they were putting back up. It was page 63 of line 26 of the DNC platform. Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel. The parties have agreed that Jerusalem is a matter for final status negotiations. It should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths. I mean, think about that. I mean, you think about it. And so they didn't vote for it. They just shoved it through. They realized we got caught, obviously, it appears, and they just pushed it through. But what just happened in the Supreme Court lines up exactly what they asked for, what they asked for at the Democratic National Convention. And guess what? That's what America voted for. Washington's not our issue. America voted for someone and something and an idea and a concept that said, we don't want to acknowledge Israel's capital as Jerusalem. And when you think about Abraham and way back in the beginning of all times, when he actually gave an offering to the king of Salem, Jerusalem. I mean, this is, I mean, that's God's land. That's God's property. And all of the nations are going to be judged in the end day in the Valley of Jehoshaphat based on what they did to this land. When you see people strategizing against Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem, that is not a good thing. But when we get back from this break, I want you to be able to see, we're going to focus on, you know, how God is blessing Israel, because he said, you know, I will bless you, Israel. I will bless you to be a blessing to the nations. And we're going to be talking about how medically they have blessed with so many different ways, with health and all these wonderful things that are coming out of Israel. Why? Because God blesses Israel, and they are a blessing to the nations. And he blesses those who bless Israel. See you after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can religion be forced on members of the military? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm an atheist. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. I received a Purple Heart in Vietnam. I do not think that I should be required to attest to the existence of a deity in order to reaffirm my loyalty to the United States.
Well, first let me say we appreciate your service to the United States of America. And part of our freedoms in this country is the freedom to believe in your religious faith of your choice or to not believe in your religious faith at all. That's part of freedom. And no one's saying that there's a patriotic litmus test that you have to believe a certain way in order to be a patriot. In fact, in this great country of ours, you can believe in what you want to believe in or not believe in anything at all, and you still have the right to be protected under the Constitution. We support that. And again, as we said, we appreciate your service to America and your valor and dedication to freedom, and that's what freedom really means.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Yes, it's amazing what you're seeing, you know, come against Israel, yes. Right, John? It's
the same strategies from the same tired playbook, but, you know, the end of the story is Israel, God wins. You cannot poke your finger in the apple of God's eye and it go well with you. It's not going to work out.
You might end up in a bunker somewhere swallowing a cyanide pill like the last particular one of the leaders that did that. His name was Adolf Hitler. And people that's bought into what he was saying. This is why people bought in, you know, based on history, reading history, they bought in to what where he was going. And even though some of them, they said that he's insane, but he was giving them what they wanted. And Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, it says it very specifically, like rule number 7, if you just give them what they want, and you got to keep them happy. And right now you're wondering, because I'm watching, you know, Denver and the Mile High City, and they just have, you know, the whole commercial industry now of growing marijuana. And they're, you know, $300 million in taxes came in the first year of doing it.
Wow.
They had a young man that jumped off a balcony because he ate a cookie that had like marijuana in it or something of that nature. And they reported, they said, this has happened. And you're thinking, why would anybody do this and the other things that are going on? Because according to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which our president and Hillary Clinton were both trained by Saul Alinsky himself, and the book is dedicated, by the way, it's dedicated to the first one that used these tactics, Lucifer, the book is. But in that, it says it's written in the 60s, like 60-something or whatever. And he said, from jail he's writing it, that things get drag. Things get, which means they get really tough and they get hard and it's hard to keep people focused. So you got to keep giving them things. If you keep giving them things, they'll stay militant, they'll stay focused. And so you think, well, where's all these stimulus and healthcare and drugs and marriage and just you name it? Anything that goes. I mean, they have like, I just can't even name them all. But what's going on is it takes, they got to keep giving people that so they'll buy in to the ultimate. And it has nothing to do with what's being given, it has nothing to do with what's being said. Marshall Gantz, who is known for using these techniques, organizing, said on Bill Moyer's show, we have it for you. He said specifically that community organizers have to be schizoid, because once people lock into one viewpoint, you got to switch to another one because it has nothing to do with that. And so if you're focusing on all these distractions instead of focusing on the fact of, you know, I can't believe that the Supreme Court, you know, ruled that if you're born in Jerusalem, instead of saying they're coming against Israel.
That's right.
This is not going to be good when your nation comes against Israel. And one man says, I don't have his name for you right now, but we could find it. He said, when God wants to discipline a nation, he turns it against Israel. So it's not the 530 folks in D.C.'s issue. There's 300 and some odd million of us.
That's right.
And there's a church in America. And God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven. And America will stand. And I believe a third great awakening is coming. And that's why we're showing you, about to show you right now. God said, I will bless Israel. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And they are blessing the nations. We talked about agriculture already, how they are blessing the world with just so many different ways. In all the countries in the Middle East, they're blessing a lot of those countries
as well. Teaching them, showing them.
And they just have, this is beautiful what the Lord's done through Israel. And secondly, we talked about, you know, water, how they are created crops that can grow from salt water. that their goal is 50% of the water coming through. It takes 90 seconds, I believe, or 90 minutes for water to go from salt water to drinkable water. They created that, and they're just giving it away. They said, how can we keep this?
Yeah.
You know, God said, I will bless Israel, and you will be a blessing to the nations. That's what he said. And so think about it. Right now we know if we buy into this darkness of people who are leading by the same spirit that whatever had a hold of Adolf, you know, and thinking that you need to come against the Jews and Christians, you know, that's where it ends. You're going to be cut off. Isn't it interesting? Every one of Satan's little small kingdoms has to do with oppressed, poverty, darkness, a tyrannical type rule, Marxism, socialism, communism. And now we are on this side of the equation. We can say, you know what? I'm not going to surrender my authority. I'm not going to let them get my buy-in. I'm going to stand up as a believer. I'm going to stand with Israel. And when you stand with VFN TV, I'm telling you, we stand up for God and country in that order, and we stand up for Israel every single program, 5 days a week, all over the world, all over the Gulf Coast, on radio, on television. Why? Because we can't be silent and not be judged before God. And I want you to look at this. This is what Israel has done, how God has blessed Israel to be a blessing in our medical needs. It's just amazing what they're doing. So when you hear all those news reports and these negative things and saying we need to divest from Israel, remember what we're about to show you on what they've done to the medical. Take a look.
On January 8th, 2011, a gunman opened fire in Tucson, Arizona. His target was Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the head at point-blank range. To stop the bleeding, EMTs used a special bandage that puts pressure on wounds and prevents infection. First responders said the bandage saved Giffords' life, and it's one of many medical breakthroughs that got its start in Israel.
Israel has one of the highest life expectancies in the world. Actually, our life expectancy here is about 4 years longer than the U.S. So if anyone wants to come move to Israel, on average, you're going to add 4 years to your life.
From fighting cancer, to giving sight to the blind, to making the lame walk again, Israel is leading the world in medical innovation. Every day, millions of Americans use some kind of medical treatment that came from Israel. From Sambucol, a cold and flu medicine made from elderberries, to amniocentesis, used to detect prenatal abnormalities. There's a wireless laser that will someday replace the dentist drill. And the pill cam, a tiny camera and a capsule. It takes pictures from inside your colon, eliminating the need for a colonoscopy.
Millions and millions and millions of these procedures are done every year. What if you could make them painless, pain-free, and non-invasive, and take a lot of the risk out of that procedure? That's a classic Israeli solution to a problem.
In the field of medicine, finding a cure for cancer is one of the biggest goals. And although a full cure is still in the future, Israeli scientists are making huge advances. The news is full of stories about dogs who can smell everything from epilepsy to cancer in their owners. So one scientist took that idea and refined it.
The dogs can smell cancer. We for sure can do it in a little bit more sophisticated way. We can communicate with the device much better than we can communicate with the dog.
Hossam Haik developed an early warning system for cancer. The nano artificial nose can detect tumors before they're even visible on x-rays, just by analyzing a patient's breath.
The device can give the results within 5 minutes to 1 hour, more or less. Many diagnostic tools require to swallow a radioactive or active material in order to make the diagnosis possible. We don't expose it to any risky x-rays or beams that might make cancer by themselves.
The artificial nose is still in clinical trials, where the accuracy rates range from 86 to 97%. And it's also being customized to sniff out other diseases as well, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis.
Our ultimate vision is to bring this device in an inexpensive and very portable way to everybody whether these people live in the Western countries or they live in the third world, because we believe that we have to fulfill a little bit democracy.
Other Israeli scientists are focusing on the treatment of cancer, and they're doing everything from burning tumors with thermal heat to freezing them with liquid nitrogen. One doctor is even developing a vaccine for cancer. The Immucin vaccine trains the body's immune cells to attack a specific molecule found only in cancer. And since only the cancer cells are targeted, the vaccine has no side effects like chemo and radiation. With one shot every few months, the body's immune system will keep it under control.
We're just educating the immune system to do what it, you know, would try to do itself. We're not inventing anything.
In the first clinical trial, the vaccine successfully triggered the immune system in all 15 patients.
You will see in the future, I think we enter a field which is very attractive, and we just scratched the beginning of it. I think we have a lot of more things to come, and I'm very encouraged by what I've seen.
In 1829, the introduction of Braille revolutionized the way blind people read and write. Today, Israeli inventors are taking that revolution a step further. For people with limited sight, there's a new device called the OrCam. It's a pocket-sized computer linked to a small camera that clips onto your glasses. The camera sees what you see. And when you point your finger at something, the OrCam will read it for you. Everything from menus to street signs. And for those with total vision loss, there's Project Ray, the first ever smartphone for the blind. With the tap of a finger, users can make phone calls, send texts, and even surf the web. While these inventions are giving blind people more independence, another one is actually restoring their sight. A company called NanoRetina is focusing on people who have lost their sight from macular degeneration. They've created the Bionic Eye, an implant that provides users with grayscale vision, a big improvement over total blindness.
Necessity is mother of all inventions. And Israelis sometimes tend to think outside of the box. And if there is an obstacle, we do not hit our forehead at the obstacle, but we go around it. We found a solution.
One of those solutions is giving new life to people who were told they would never walk again.
I couldn't understand why wheelchairs are the only solution for paralyzed person.
In 1997, a meat gopher was paralyzed in a car accident, and since then, he's been on a mission to put the wheelchair out of business. So he designed something called the ReWalk, a brace that uses motors to help paraplegics walk and even drive a car. Ironically, Gopher couldn't use his own invention, since he's a quadriplegic and the device requires the use of the arms. But he soon found a veteran who was more than willing to try it.
When the doctor told me that I'm lucky to be alive, but my injury would leave me paralyzed, everything became dark.
Radi Kayof is a former Israeli paratrooper who was injured in South Lebanon.
In one of the rehabilitation centers in central Israel, I met Amit Gofer. He told me that he had developed a device that helps paraplegic in my condition to walk. I didn't believe I'd be able to stand up. After I tried it and the device made me stand up, I was amazed. My daughter was 3 years old back then. She looked at me and said, "Dad, you are tall." That made my day.
The bottom line is seeing the families, it is very exciting. They see their beloved one stands, then you want to cry. This is the first time I was really excited.
Roddy started using the ReWalk 6 years ago. And since then, the device has gone global. In 2012, a young woman named Claire Lomas used the ReWalk in the London Marathon. She walked the 26 miles in 17 days, earning her the nickname Bionic Woman.
It's a moment I'm going to treasure for the rest of my life.
I dance 4 times a week, and I love it very much. And I knew that I'm not going to stop just because I am diabetic.
Shai Barshira is a dancer, a student, and a type 1 diabetic. She is also a pioneer. Shai was one of the first people to try a new Israeli medical device, the artificial pancreas. It's still in the experimental stage, and right now it's just a laptop with a series of sensors that monitor the patient's blood sugar. Eventually, the laptop will be replaced by a microchip and an insulin pump. Dr. Moshe Philip is one of the developers.
I promised my patient many times that one day they will get rid of their diabetes. So despite the fact that we are not able to cure diabetes yet, we would like to enable our patient to live their life without thinking of their diabetes all the time. You have to understand type 1 diabetes, especially during childhood, is something that keeps you busy the entire day. It's there all the time.
Dr. Philip oversaw clinical trials for children in Israel, Slovenia, and Germany. But Shai was the first one to use the device at home without medical supervision.
Each time that my levels drop, it gives me a very, very strong alarm that tells me that I have to eat right away. And if my levels go very high, it fixes my levels. It calculates itself how much insulin I should take, and it gives an automatic order to my pump to give me that insulin. And I'm all balanced, even more balanced than I was when I went to sleep. And that's amazing.
I think we are going to change the life of our patients. And this is the entire idea, to bring back the spontaneity to the life of our patient, to free them from being busy with thinking about how to control their blood glucose level all the time, and especially during the night.
I feel there is so much effort made to help the diabetics feel like, you know what, you have this disease, but don't worry. We're trying to cure it. We're trying to make the treatment better, more comfortable, and we'll get there. Feeling that I help other people too, it gives me the strength to keep on. If I am a part of something big, I feel that I'm not alone in this business, and it gives me a lot of hope.
You just think about it. Why would anybody want to not stand with Israel?
Right.
This is who don't want to stand with Israel. Satan doesn't want to stand with Israel. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Why would you hate Israel? You want to hate Israel. They're blessed. God is blessing Israel, showing himself mighty through Israel, and they're helping us in so many medical ways. I mean, even our congressperson that was shot.
Gabby Gifford.
It was Israel's inventions and all these. It's amazing what's happening. Stand with Israel. Support Israel. Supporting VFN TV, I'm telling you, we're going to stand with you. We're going to stand together, and God's going to save Israel. The question is, whose side you're going to be on during that storm? It makes a huge difference. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so important because with Israel is to get a true perspective of Israel, because the enemy and those that are captive by him, this is what Paul said. He says, gently instruct those who are held captive by Satan to do his will. Gently instruct them in hopes that God would grant them repentance. So it's not about, you know, hating someone. It's about, listen, this is going the wrong direction.
That's right.
Right? And we need to say something. And remember, as Christians, right, John, we live for eternity.
Yes, so for this brief moment here.
There is a CPA in heaven, right? He's going to balance our books at the cross. And if we tried to do it ourselves, we tried to do these different things and whatever, you know, just deception was what caused someone to just come against God's people.
Yeah.
You know, if God's called you to, you think God's called you to do a coup against your pastor, that is not true.
That ain't God.
I've seen a couple of coups like that, yeah. You know, or coups against Israel or God's folks. It's just not true. And so it's important. You're looking at just a parallel of what happened in Germany right before World War II. And you can't help but feel, you know, no matter what people wanted, you know, World War II was on the way. And, but with that, you know, God, what was meant for evil, God turned it around for good. In 1948, President Harry Truman signed the papers, you know, saying that Israel's a nation and the weight of America is going to be behind this decision. And right now you're seeing the weight of America, at least our leaders, trying to pull the weight of America out. There's a book that I believe it's called Understanding or Knowing the Devil That You're With or something like that, you know, the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like somebody potentially in their own minds or in their logic is saying, we've tried every other way to have peace with the devil. Let's try this other way. And the other way has to do with polarizing, targeting, humiliating Israel.
Ridiculing.
And ridiculing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That is not a good strategy. I mean, just look at history. It's not good. It's not a good strategy. Even though you may seem to be going well for a season, in the long run, it's just horrific. It's just horrific what happens to anybody who does that. God's going to take care of Israel. There's a coming land grab that, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence talked about. And we are right at that moment in time. It looks like when, you know, the only ones that Israel is going to have to cry out for, because all nations just this week you know, Pat Robinson said, you know, every nation is going to turn against Israel. And that's, he's talking biblically, but we're seeing it take place. And the, what they're, who they're going to cry out to, they're going to cry out to God. Now, listen, if your nation turns against Israel, you don't turn against Israel. You know, no matter what countries do and other people do, you can stand as a righteous one before God and say, you know, I will stand with Israel. I will stand with God. I'll stand with Jesus Christ. And understand, too, simultaneously, the greatest move of God, I believe, is coming. A third great awakening is coming. And part of that, you're going to see this release of the fullness of who we are. When we get back to the Father's business and we get back to what he's called us to do, we remember what the finish line is and begin to talk about what God has done, testimony. As a matter of fact, I think about, you know, Art Thomas, who's going to be joining us next week. Make sure you get join us next week. But listen to what he said here in regards to testimonies, what the Lord told him about testimonies.
Jesus told me this morning, he said, I want you to use testimony like war propaganda. Yeah, and he said, here's what I mean. Number one, it rallies the troops. Number two, it recruits new soldiers. And number three, it intimidates the heck out of the enemy. Yeah, war propaganda, buddy. I'm just telling what my God does. And here's the only difference between testimony and war propaganda. Testimony is all true.
That is so powerful that it's time for us to rally the troops. It's time for us to recruit new soldiers, and it's time for our enemy to be terrified.
I love that.
I knew you would love that. And he's going to be joining us next week. Make sure that you join us. It'll be next week on VFN TV.
Don't miss it. 5 p.m.
Yeah, 5 p.m. But as a matter of fact, here, take a look at a little bit of something from what God is doing through Art Thomas.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Yeah, to make sure you're here next week. I'm looking forward to Art Thomas. I love about, you know, I haven't met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched his ministry, I read his history, and, you know, we're in communication. And watching somebody who's 30 years old,
wow,
who has the faith like a child, and understanding that God, you know, Jesus died not only for our salvation, but he died for our healing. And to
Complete package, right?
As quickly as you say yes, you know, God would forgive, God would save you if you asked him to. And forgive you if you asked him to, you know, why, what religious thing has happened that says when it comes to healing and all these strange arguments that come out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has called us as the church, and, you know, we've been talking about it at the VFN Dream Center. And we make that available, by the way, for all of our partners. You know, VFN TV partners, we have so many things available, we just give our partners. But mm-hmm. for partnering for any amount at all, you know, we make that available to you and teachings and prophetic words and things that come out at the VFN Dream Center. But speaking recently about, you know, that whose business are we in? I mean, think about it. Wouldn't it be terrible to find out that you were in the wrong business your whole life?
Hmm.
I mean, the Pharisees were in a business.
That's right.
They were in such a religious business that when God himself showed up, John, They thought he was interfering with their business and didn't realize he came to add to what they were doing or even create the business or bring them into the Father's business.
That's right.
And they felt like a competitive, I mean, here they were in the God business, they thought, but when God showed up, they saw God as a competitor. And then they called God Satan. Did they not?
Yes, they did.
And then they plotted in the name of God to kill God, to kill Jesus.
This is factual.
Yeah, and so they looked Jesus in the eye, the one who is about the Father's business. The ones who claim to be in the Father's business, look the one Jesus is the Father's business, and he was doing the Father's business, and they saw him as a competitor. As a competitor. Think about it.
Crazy.
It's a crazy. But when you see somebody preaching the name of Jesus Christ at whatever level they're able to do it, and they're laying down whatever they can do, and you see that as a threat,
yeah,
that's a Pharisaical spirit. Yeah. I mean, I like what Charles Simpson, you know, out of Mobile, Alabama, he says, you know, hey, if a dog comes to town preaching Jesus, I'd like to at least throw him a bone.
Come on.
I mean, the first thing, I mean, the disciples walked with Jesus just for a little bit of time before he sent him out. It's like, okay, great. It's been a while.
Got
12
it.
Of you go out. Send him out by twos. Wasn't much longer until he sent out 72. This is before the 3 years and he's up with the Father. I mean, he's sending people out. He is focused on that. But specifically, when you think about it, the disciples came back and they started thinking, like, you know, I think we need to call down fire on that town, right? Just like, weren't you fishing 5 moments ago? I mean, we need to call fire down on this town. You know, and the awesome thing is that, first of all, they had faith enough to know that they could call the fire down.
Right.
Which that was pretty,
that was pretty good. Okay.
But they don't need to be calling the fire down. But think about this. And so they immediately got that religious spirit where they're saying, you know what? They didn't listen to us. You know, I went to that town. They wouldn't even let you in, Jesus. And they start speaking against that town. I mean, how many people give up and just begin to speak on that town? And versus, like, God still loves the folks. I mean, the reason why we're still breathing, God's given us a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wasn't going to give us a chance, we'd just fall out. But they begin to just, you know, fight against that. If Jesus wouldn't have rebuked them, you know, they would have potentially called fire down, or at least tried to, you know, call fire down upon a particular town. And it's
Jesus had a few more miracles than
right. They did cut an ear off. Anyway, so it's time for the church. And coming together does not mean joining your organization. You know, coming together doesn't necessarily mean ever docketing the doors of your mortgage. I mean, your building. It could be in the streets. It could be does it really matter where we come together as long as it's for Jesus? I mean, Jesus was walking the streets, and he wasn't walking in Nikes or Reeboks. He was walking in sandals, and it wasn't a paved road. It's a dirt road, and he was sleeping in the wilderness. You know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, how many people today, especially in America, I mean, if you don't even know what a Starbucks is, I'm not going to listen to you, right? Mm.
Yeah.
And if you're not wearing that three-piece suit or that, you know, untucked shirt and rolled-up skinny jeans, you know, right?
And spiky hair.
I mean, you must be missing it. I mean, it's amazing. You know, if Jesus didn't, and the thing about it is that they didn't recognize Jesus when they were walking down the Emmaus Road because they said he showed up in a different form. And the Pharisees didn't recognize Jesus. They missed the time of their visitation. And I believe the only way that we're going to be able to see him is that we humble ourselves and say, God, ever how you want to come, ever how you want to do it, and we want everybody to experience you. We want everybody to be saved. Lord, help us to have a heart for the human race. Help us to have a heart for our community. Who are the less fortunate that's being justice is not coming their way? Whoever it is. Let's find them and bring them justice. He that lends to the poor lends to God, you know, and begin to just have that heart for people, because God has such a heart for people that he gave his son to die for people. So it wasn't just so, you know, if it's just to save you, then all you need is two evangelists. You need one to say, hey, you need Jesus. Okay, I got him. He's my Lord. And one to shoot you so you can go to heaven, right? You think about it. People live their lives, like I said a prayer 20 years ago, I'm just waiting to die. And it's like, no, we're supposed to go out and let people know about the goodness of God and the land of the living, and that he said that we're supposed to be about the Father's business, which is to seek and to save the lost. That's what we're called to do. We're supposed to lay down our life for them. And it's never going to, and that's how you know who's in the world and who's not in the world, not by their organization, not by their nameplate. You know it when you saw, you say, listen, we need to lay down our lives for these people or that person. We need to do something. They go, I got it. You know, I got a vacation coming up. I got a boat payment. You know, I got, or they start them people. They start talking about like, them people, you know, those people. And you start realizing, oh my goodness, you know, what happened? And very well it could be that you sat under a Pharisee. And I'm not saying that, at least other people say it. You sat under somebody who had the same mindset as the Pharisee, who was looking at God and felt that he was being competitive with him. And the reality is he wasn't in anything.
Yeah.
God was in every, that was the Son of God. He needed to humble himself. So, you know what? I'll leave what I'm doing. I'll leave my long, flowing, initialized robe. And I will pull down my name off of a banner on the outside of this building. And I'll follow you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll follow you.
But, you know, you, as you're saying, as you're talking, it reminds me of a song that, that we have sung in fellowships.
Sing it.
Yeah,
sing it.
Well, I'm not going to sing. I give you the words. Since I'm coming back to a heart of worship. It's all about you.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me. Yeah. And how about let's
it's been all about me. All
yeah,
about
let's
me.
Bring it back to Jesus. Yeah. Really, do we need all the other extras? Is Jesus enough? And as I'm talking to people, and I know you are, and we're, you know, running into folks and sharing the gospel, people really just want to know Jesus. I mean,
yes.
give them Jesus,
right,
and everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah, and that's all people really want anyway. They need it, but they need to know not another Jesus. There's other Jesus's perceptions of Jesus that people are teaching. Jesus, Paul said, if anybody comes to you and teaches you another Jesus, let him be accursed, have nothing to do with him. But it's going to be so confusing if you don't aren't abiding with the Lord, because they'll come as servants of righteousness. I mean, they'll come. He says, Satan comes as an angel of light. You know, was trying to deceive folks, right?
Yeah.
Masquerading, by the way, as an angel of light. And no wonder his servants, Paul said, are called servants of righteousness. So it's not about justice movements and all these things people are getting caught up in. God's into justice, but not justice movements. He says, just do good, do right by all men. But abiding with the Lord is so important. And we have a plan for you at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can see it right here on your screen. I abide. You got to begin to listen to him, because you got huge decisions coming up. Am I going to stand with Israel? What does that mean to stand with Israel? Am I in the Father's business? And God will tell you what the Father's business is every single day. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. The Lord truly wants to be the Lord of your life. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, Lord, I thank you for our audience and how faithful they stand with us and pray for us and support what's going on, Father God. And I thank you for Israel, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And I thank you, Lord, that you're telling us now, this side of the paradigm, before something like evil happens, like what happened in Germany, Father God, for the Jews and the church, your body, God. And I pray right now for protection over Israel. We come against the plans of the enemy. We ask you to set your angels about the borders of Israel, Father God, and to expand the borders to the biblical mandates of you said that would be a coming land grab, Father God. And we just thank you for that, Lord God. We pray for the salvation and protection of the Jewish people, Father God, wisdom for the prime minister and the Knesset. We pray for America to wake up, the church to arise, Father God, and help us, give us a grace to go back and get back into your business again, God. Lord, and forgive all your church for ever denying you and feeling competitive when you are doing some awesome things in our very presence. Lord, let it be, Father God. Send a third great awakening,
yes,
we ask,
Lord,
in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.